we're going to be confused. And if we don't, we are not going to experience the benefits of his presence in your life, the benefits of his presence in the body of Christ. So it's important that you understand what he is doing so that you know what he's doing, so you yield to what he's doing. And so we're talking about, you know, the Spirit of God in us. That's where we are for now. We're still going to talk about the Spirit of God among us. And then we're going to talk about the Spirit of God where? Where? Upon us. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We haven't come to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people confuse baptism of the Holy Spirit with the Spirit of God that's in you when you get born again. Some don't know the difference. So what we're talking about is this, the Spirit of God that's in you when you receive Christ. What is doing it? We're not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. We haven't come there. This is what every Christian should be able to experience. The fruit of the Spirit is what every Christian should manifest. So what we're talking about is the Spirit that is in you. Can we say that the Spirit that is in me, the Spirit that is in me, look at Romans 8, 9, just for clarity's sake, just for clarity's sake. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, is living in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you see, this Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Christ. It's called the Spirit of God, and it's called the Spirit of Christ, because Christ is God. Let me read it again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, you see, the term is interchangeable. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. So when you received the Lord Jesus into your life, you received the Spirit of God into your life. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the same, because Jesus is God. And if any man doesn't have the presence of Christ in him or the presence of the Spirit of God, he's not born again. That's what you got the day you received Christ into you. You received the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, know you not that you are the temple of what? Who dwells in? So we're talking about what you got when you got saved. Because he said, if you don't have it, you are none of it. You can be born again and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are still a Christian. Because baptism of the Holy Spirit is what comes after you are saved. After you are what? Saved. It's for only those who are saved already. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not to the world, it's to his disciples. His already disciples. So what we're talking about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Christian. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you. The Spirit of Christ in you. The one you receive. The one you tell people, come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his Spirit. So what he's doing is to reveal the good works that God accomplished on the cross. I've said this over and over and over. And the Lord said to me, keep saying it. Many of them don't know what they're talking about. You are going to see how, if you don't understand this, you will not bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not kidding. You can go to church. Believe you me. You can go to church and act church. Nobody acted church than the Pharisees. You can go to church and act church and not be saved. And not be born again. And go to hell. You can go to church and act church and not produce the fruit of the Spirit. God Because it's not the fruit of human effort. It's not the works of man. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you don't understand how it works, it won't produce, it won't work. You can pick up Pentecostal parlance and be saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, and all those kind of things. You may not really, really be a Christian. And the worst of it all is that the heart of man is very deceitful. Your heart can deceive you to think that you are where you should be. That's what I was saying here on Wednesday. That while we're fasting and praying, you should ask the Lord to reveal you to you. To know whether you are still in this way or whether you've gone off. Did you see the record of the early church? Paul wrote that it was only one man in the entire church who was seeking the things of Christ. Only one. Who was that? Timothy. He said the rest of them were seeking what? Their own things. Only one. I was saying it yesterday, that part of what you should pray for is that God should reveal you to you. The word of God is not only to reveal Christ, it reveals your heart, the intents of your heart, the purpose of your heart, the real you that nobody sees. It reveals me to me. But the point is that we don't want to see ourselves. We like to live in this euphoria and this self-righteousness that I'm okay. And if somebody brings correction, you get angry. But it doesn't remove the fact that you are not okay. A man's ways is right in his eyes, but God weighs the what? The spirit weighs it. He weighed the book as they say, I've weighed you. You are what? Zero. God that weighs me, weighs me. He weighs me. So he knows if I'm worthless or not. It's not senior pastor. If you, that's part of the things you should be seeking from God this season. Lord, show me myself. Lest I destroy myself. And if you make a platform for Satan, he won't stop him from doing what he's doing. There was a pastor, my mentor told this story. I don't even know where I'm going. My mentor told this story of a pastor. And he told me, he said, tell that pastor that he would die on the pulpit, that I would drop dead on the pulpit. He said, because he doesn't love the wife, and he doesn't love people, and he's a glutton. He said, tell him he's going to drop dead on the pulpit, the devil will kill him, and write in the pulpit. I mean, because the man is, if you tell him something, he makes trouble. They left him. A few days after, he dropped dead right in the pulpit, at 44 years old. Right in the pulpit. And this is what the scripture says. That there are things that present platform for Satan to come and walk in your life. And he wants to disgrace you while it pains most. That's why it's important to go to God and say, Lord, you know the purpose and the intent of my heart. Show me who I am. I want to. Then my mentor told another story about one of his deacons. He said the woman was called Holy Mom, you know, the holiest in the church. And then the woman wasn't getting healed. But you know, some of the people he thought were not good Christians were getting healed just like that. And then he went to the Lord in prayer. He said, I took out time to fast and seek the Lord. I said, Lord, this is not right. I pastor these people. I know them. This woman is one of my best member. How come she's not healed? And how come you are healing those ones that are not very good? I have the tape. One day I play for all of you. If you want. And the Lord said, let me show you how I see them. Because God does not look at the outside. He said, let me tell you what I see you don't see. He said, those people you think are not good, look at their heart. They forgive easily. Believe me easily. Repent easily. No pride in them. He said, let me show you your deacon. He called her your deaconess. He said, look at what I see. darkness. She has a list of everything people did to her right there. I said, and the Lord said to the pastor, if she's a Christian, I don't know. God said, I don't know if she's a Christian. So if she died, the church will be crying for a sin that went down. God, I don't know her. You know, Jesus said the same. He said, they will come to me in the last day and say, Lord, said, I never knew. Your works were what? Iniquity. I don't know. Yeah. I was saying it on Wednesday. I said, that's one prayer all of us should be praying. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you are still what? In this faith. Where you're gone. A backslider in heart is pleased with his own ways. Nobody will correct you, but he'll tell you anything. People will run from you now. But one day, you'll come down. The devil is a very wicked spirit. You don't want the devil hanging around in your life. He didn't come for fellowship. He came to kill you. He came to destroy. And he can leave devastation behind if you let him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. This is what I shared on Wednesday. I don't even know where I'm sharing. It's not part of here. But we prayed before we came here that the Lord would teach us. Always calm about this. Any direction the Holy Spirit wants to go is good. And so the Spirit of God reveals to us what Christ has done in our lives so that our lives will be changed. A Christian must be conversant with this. If you are not, you won't bear the fruit. I'm not kidding. You will not. Because there's no other way your life will change except those things. There's no other way my life will change except those things. There is no other way. No other way. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by anything. It's by the mercy of God displayed on the cross. That's where the change took place. That's where the seed to produce this thing was deposited. Where? In all the believers. And so, Paul said, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we need to be confident of this very thing, that he began these good works, he will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. So we need to understand what this good works is. And we call it the plan of salvation. But the Bible also called it the wisdom of God. The gospel, the wisdom of who? Of God. On display, God's divine wisdom to save us on display. It's not the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of God. That God came into human mess to change it for his glory. Because we were without strength. We are not even seeking God. Not even one. None was righteous. Our mouth was producing destruction. The devil had us where he wanted us. We were slaves to sin, slaves to Satan. God came, sent a deliverer to set us free and bring us to himself. Can somebody shout hallelujah? It's important that you understand this thing. Okay, let's see an explanation. We read this last Thursday in Titus chapter 3 from verse 3. Foolish, and what else were we? Disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts. When we talk of sin, the church is always focusing on sex. It's a lot. Many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. This is how you people were when God came in to rescue you from darkness. The next verse, please, quickly. I have to run along. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he came in. Tell your neighbor, God came in. When he came, he announced, he said, Emmanuel, God is what? Here now. God came in. He saved us from that mess we read before, slavery to lust and everything. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, because we couldn't do any righteous thing. We were slaves. Serving diverse laws, we were slaves. We were held by a power stronger than us. So he says, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Can somebody shout hallelujah for me? Because of his what? Mercy. Because of his mercy. He washed away our sins because of his mercy, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is saying, this is what God did. It's not what you did. It's what he did. It's what he did. It's what he did. It's what he did. The next one. He generously poured out the Spirit, what? Upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Somebody say amen. And then verse, what's the next verse? Seven. Because of his grace, he declared us what? Righteous. And some people say, no. He said, no, he declared you righteous. He said, no, then I'm not right. Okay, fine. He declared you righteous because of his grace. He declared me righteous because of his grace. Because of his grace. This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. Because of his grace, declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit what? Eternal life. Then continue. 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. You see, because of these things, we can now do good. Before, we couldn't do good. You saw the list of our resume. Nothing talked about doing good. Now he's saying, because those who trust in God, who believe in these things, can now do what? Good. Because, give me one reason they can now do good. One reason they can now do good. Huh? Duro, dear. One. What's the first reason? Declared us righteous. He declared us righteous. He gave us his Spirit. We're not done. Watch the word. Say what? Huh? So what did his mercy do? He changed our nature. He said before, our nature was evil. He changed it and gave us new life. Say, because of your new nature now, you cannot do good. You cannot do good because you have a new nature. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, when we believe these things, of course, you know that it is only by faith that the spiritual things unseen can come into the realm of this. It's only by faith. There's no other way. If you don't believe it, you don't see it. That's what Jesus said. Only believe, and you will see what? Glory of God. You want to see God's power? You want to see what he did for you? Believe it so, then you see it. If you don't believe it so, you don't see it. Nothing. So, Galatians 6:14. As for me, Paul, this is Paul's testimony. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can the church say amen? What does he mean by may I never boast of anything? Eh? May I never what? Okay, I don't want to take the glory. Okay, but I never boast of anything. Eh? Don't boast about my works because I wasn't the one that changed me. Magnify myself. What else? May I never glory is may I never have confidence in anything. May I never have confidence in what? In anything else. Because it's only on that cross that He changed my nature, gave me a new life, produced, gave me righteousness, set me free from the slavery of sin on that cross. That's where he did all these things. Only on that cross. Paul said, I can't. He said, may I never boast of anything else. Nothing. Nothing. Except the cross of Jesus. And then he told us why. He told us why. Except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross. Because of that cross. Not because of anything else. Because of that cross, church, my brothers and sisters, this is the Holy Spirit's testimony that he wants the believer to understand. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been what? Crucified. Why is this true? Why is this true? Huh? Change of nature. Change of nature. The nature we had before was worldly. Loved the world, lustful, greedy, hateful. The same thing the world did. Why? The same God of this world was controlling it. The same God that controlled the world system was controlling it. And so he said, because of that cross, my interest in this world has been what? Crucified. Because my nature has changed. The new nature I have is not lustful towards the world. It rather is slave to Christ. It has interest in Jesus. My interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also what? Died. And I'm not shocked when people say they are saved and they are still hanging out with the same friends. If you are really saved, your friends will give you up quickly. Because they won't like your language. They won't like what you are saying and what you are doing. They'll give you up fast. You don't have to give them up. Abba, I got saved. I went to one of my best friends, the doctor. We all did internship together. I said, Doc, I'm born again. He laughed. He said, born what? I said, I'm born again. He said, I have whiskey. I said, I'm telling you, I'm born again. He laughed again. He said, okay, I will put the whiskey on the table and watch you. 30 minutes, you don't take a shot, then I know you are born well. So he brought the whiskey, put it down, and sat down. Because what, he's from the same place as Chris Onyechi Uke. So he put it, if I call his name, you know him. He's a doctor, now a very big doctor. Put it and sat down. We are talking. 30 minutes, he said, you mean you didn't take it? I said, I don't even have interest in it. It's not, I'm not even struggling. That is dead interest. I don't know how to explain it. I had no interest in that. Cigarettes, all those things, I had no desire for them. They didn't attract me. Lala. He said, this is serious. You mean you have followed them? I say, yeah. And I'm not coming back. I didn't have to tell my worldly friends. I had a lot of them. They were doctors, a lot, you know, because I trained as a pharmacist. So we did internship together. We were buddies in school. I mean, we were friends. We worked in the same hospitals. I worked in teaching hospitals, worked in general hospitals, worked everywhere. They left. I didn't need to talk because my language changed. My interest. Going to church was important to me. Socializing, I didn't have interest. Actually, we went to the church we were attending before I got saved. We got in there, it was dead. I didn't need anybody. I told her, I said, I'm not here again. She would tell, I said, my spirit is not here. She said, this is dead place. Jesus is not here. First day we got saved. I don't know why. I don't understand how we say we are saved. And we don't have basic discernment at all. Basic discernment that I had one day after being saved. Basic discernment, because your spirit is new. It's a new spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. I came in, I discerned the church immediately. I didn't need anybody. She was the same thing. I said, this is dead. It's a dead place. We can't be here. There's no life here. Immediately we took our Bible. I was a member of committee. I left. I said, no. This place is dead. Second day, we just got saved and went to our church. Dead. Immediately I went back to where we got saved. The thing came alive. It's like some joy bubbled up. The difference is like day. How come we Christians don't have basic discernment? Basic. You are saying some things. You can't even discern that this thing you are saying is Satan. Sometimes I start saying something, I pause. I say, it's not from God. Basic discernment that every Christian should have, because we have a new spirit now, a new capability now. Go to just enter somewhere. Say, praise the Lord. They talk Jesus here. No discernment. Somebody read me a letter from a sister that got saved and went to Florida and wrote them, sent them text. He said, I went into this church. He said, this church is dead. He said, I was shocked that they even enjoyed it. He wrote them. I won't tell you what that girl said. That's the girl that had cancer, that got healed of cancer. And she's not even a Pentecostal. But she had that basic discernment. Her spirit picked it up immediately. Basic discernment. Don't you know there are homes you come, you pick up that bad words have been spoken here. Don't you pick it up? It's like something evil has been said. You can sense evil words because the spirit, demonic spirit produces them. You can sense them. Anywhere you come in, they fought and quarreled. They don't have to tell you. Once you come in, your spirit will sense it, pick it up, that the environment is not okay. Sure. Even when people speak evil and come in here, your spirit can pick it up. Easily, that this person that has been speaking evil. Because there's a way that thing cows when it comes to you. That's a cowing. Like, so he says, because of that cross, my interest in this world has been what? Crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. So we parted ways because of that cross. Everybody say, because of the cross. That's how it happened. And so the Holy Spirit was telling us through Peter in 2 Peter 2:1, my time is out there. I don't know where I am in the time zone. Don't worry. Sit down. Don't worry. 2 Peter 1:3, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are 2 Peter 2:1, verse 3. 2:1 verse, but 2 Peter 2:1. Where did I go? 2 Peter 1:3. Sorry, 1:3, not 2:1. I'm sorry about that. But his divine power has given us how many things? Everything we need to live a godly life has been given. It's not going to be given. We have received all of this by coming to know him the day we got saved. Just interpreting the same thing that the Spirit of God has been saying, that our nature was changed that day, that we have a new nature, and this new nature has everything that you need to be godly. That's why he said, because of this change, you can now live a godly life. Because everything has been given to me and you. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Continue. And because of his glory and excellence, he has also given us great and precious what? Promises. That these are the promises that enable us to share his divine nature. Because he promised us eternal life, sharing his life. He fulfilled it in Christ. And they kept the worst corruption caused by human desire. It's these promises fulfilled in Christ where he changed our nature. He gave us new life. He gave us his spirit. This is the thing that changed us. We were part of the corruption in the world. We were part of that corruption. But now, through that promise fulfilled on the cross, our nature was what? Changed. So he pulled us out of that corruption. It is through that promises fulfilled that we escaped. Because none of us could escape on his own until the Savior came to pull us out and we escaped. It's through what he did on the cross that we escaped the corruption. It's not by your trying to be good. Get it? It's not by your trying to what? You will read this and say, you should escape. I escape. No. It was through the promises fulfilled that he changed us and pulled us out of the grip of sin, grip of Satan, grip of the world, pulled us out, and we escaped. Nobody's excited except me. Praise the Lord. If you escaped, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have escaped. And so, it tells us, and you know, the new nature really is described for us. It's love. God is love. So he said, the love of God has been poured what? In us by the Spirit, by the presence of love. God is love. By the presence of love, by the presence of love, by the presence of what? If God is love, then if God is in me, what is in me? God's love. You see, this has been poured out in each of us. It's been poured out. It's been poured out. It's been what? Poured out. It's been poured out. It's been poured out. Praise the Lord. So we have what it takes to love people. You can't say, I can't. Because we can't. Somebody went to my mentor and said, Pastor, pray for me. The spirit of unforgiveness is holding me. He said, really? He said, have you ever forgiven your husband? Yeah, I said, I forgive my husband. He said, why didn't that spirit hold you? You forgave your husband there, but you won't forgive your co-worker. Why didn't that spirit hold you that day? Forgive you. He said, the Bible says, forgive if you have aught against it. That's simple thing, which means because you have been equipped to forgive. You have been equipped to what? To forgive. If you don't forgive, it's because you don't want to. Can always do that. Why? He has equipped us with this new nature of love, walking. That's why I say we cannot do good. Nothing is holding anybody from doing good. Nothing. Can I hear amen? And so in 1 Peter 1, 5, he said, for this reason, because we have received all of this, I'm now reading Amplified. He said, adding your diligence, that make effort to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop all the virtues and the fruits of the Spirit. You exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. The faith that believes these things. That believes these testimonies of the Holy Spirit that I've received love. I'm a new nature. You know, the Spirit of God is in me. A new ability has been given me. I can do all things. That faith you have that receives this, he said, let it produce, develop it to produce the reality in your day-to-day life. For faith without works is dead. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ without works is dead. Dead. Let's call it spirit this way. Faith, the Holy Spirit said, okay, you have faith. Show me your faith by what? By your works. Let me see your faith. If I don't see works that this faith produced, then the faith is, you don't have faith in him. That's what he's saying. So if we neglect these testimonies of salvation, my brothers and sisters, see what the Spirit of God says. See what he says. In verse 9, the same 2 Peter 1, verse 9. For whoever lacks, 2 Peter what? 1 verse 9. Verse 9. Second Peter, that's first Samuel. I said, 2 Peter 1, verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way are, number one, what? Short-sighted or blind. You see, they're blind. They're not seeing. David said, open my eyes so I will see what? Wondrous things here. They're not seeing the truth. That's why they fail to develop in this way. And forgetting that they have been what? Cleansed for their own. They forget this story about the wisdom of God in salvation that Paul said, that's where my faith is, I can't boast. They don't even think it's worth anything. They think I'm going to have to live a holy life. Stop telling me all that. They push it aside. So they forget they have been saved. And because they forget, they don't produce this fruit. So you can't produce the fruit of the Spirit unless you have faith in the work has been accomplished in the cross. Again, you can be going Pentecostal. But people who know you have no single fruit at all. That's a bad thing for the gospel. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip away. We must listen to these things. Meditate on them. Go through them again and again and again. Otherwise, it will slip away from our memory. And the Bible says, if you forget them, you won't produce them. Amen? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. I want us to read verse 3. You know this letter was written to the church, not to heathens. There's no letter written to heathens. All of them were written to the church. Written to Christians. Now see what the Holy Spirit says to Christians. So what makes us think we can expect if we ignore? If we what? Ignore this great what? Salvation that was first announced by the Lord himself and then delivered to us, he's talking to Christians and saying, us, delivered to us by those who heard him speak. He said, how can we escape this? How can we escape? If we ignore the salvation, the escape plan of God, how can we escape? The grip of sin, grip of the world, how can we escape if we neglect it? Which many do. It doesn't even come to our radar. We talk about cross and ignore it. We think about the cross, ignore it. It's not in our heart like it was in Paul's heart. He lived it. He taught it. He believed it. He meditated on it. That was his passion. Cross. Jesus on the cross. What happened on the cross? It was his, because that's a revelation that God gave him. He lived by this thing. Deuteronomy 4:23. This scripture, I heard it from Pastor Sinadi preaching one Sunday about people who neglected their salvation. I said, Pastor, that's my sermon you are preaching. I said, I don't know who stole from one another. But I told him, I said, I stole your scripture. Deuteronomy 4:23, I heard it from Pastor Sinadi. So be careful not to break what? No, the New Living Translation missed the point. It's not how to break. Can you put amplified? Take heed to yourself, lest you do what? Forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And if you forget it, you will make for yourself a graven what? Image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden for you. He said, if you forget divine covenant, you create another God. That's what the scripture said. He said, how can you escape if you neglect this covenant, this cross, this thing that God did on the cross? How do you want to escape again? What is the hope of glory we have? And then Deuteronomy said, if you forget the covenant of your God, you are going to make for yourself a what? Another image. Because you know you need to escape. You know you are in trouble. But because you don't know how, you create another God that will deliver you. And that God you deliver is your own idea, your own destiny, your own whatever. You talk about it, you create another means of escape. It won't work. It won't work. And you're struggling and sweating and such a bad job. And then, you know, you succumb to things. It's after all, we are human. You take it as a bad job. But let me tell us again. Those things will make a platform for the one that wants to destroy you. Yeah. I'm telling the truth. Let's read that Deuteronomy again from Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed to yourselves, my brothers and sisters, in Fountain of the Living Word Church. I'm telling you today, take heed to yourselves. Let you forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he has made with you through Christ Jesus. Because if you do, and if you forget it, you will make for yourself a graven image in the form of anything. Because you know you want, you know this, come on, you know this is, the, you know this is, we know how we are. We know this is grabbing me. I need to get out of this, but you're not getting out. And because you know you have to, you start creating another God, another means. And Jesus said, how do you want to escape that if you neglect the salvation I already provided? How do you want to escape it? How do you hope to escape it? Hebrews 3:12. I need time. I don't know how much time is left. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your hearts are not evil and unbelieving. That's our job. Make sure your hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from what? Living God. Is it not what Deuteronomy said? Turning you away. Want to create another God that will deliver you. Yeah, the Israel said, this Moses that brought us, we don't know where he is. So let us create another God that will deliver us. No, you don't create another God. Jesus is the Savior from morning to evening. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he's the only hope of. Don't create another God. Don't do stuff like that. Because you have forgotten the cover. You have forgotten the cross. Your confidence is not in the cross. You want to create your own. Come on. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still what? Today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. 14. Let's read 14 together. One, two, go. For if, did you see the word if? It's conditional now. You know, the Lord told me, he said, did you notice that I have a lot of ifs in the Bible? I said, yeah. He said, you go and look at it. And I realized that. He said, if you're Abraham's children, then you are this. If, there's always an if. That if. It's not, he didn't say you're Abraham's children because you go to church. He said, if you are really. Then look at it here. For if we are what? Faithful to the end. Trusting God as firmly as when we first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will share in all that belongs to Christ. If, how did you, what did you trust when you came to Christ? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we say? He said, if we maintain the same faith confidence in him, if, then we share in everything that belongs to him. His life, his everything, we share it. Acts 13:38. Are you following me? Acts 13:38. So let it be clearly known and understood by you, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness and removal of sin. Let me see. Amplified is what I'm reading. I'm reading Amplified. Acts 13:38. I'm reading Amplified. So let it be clearly known and understood by you, brethren, that through this man, forgiveness and removal of sin is now proclaimed to you. Why? He says, because of his mercy, he gave us righteousness and washed away our sins. He said, this is what is being proclaimed to you. But this is not what we preach to people. We should tell people what the Holy Spirit said. That their sins are, what we tell them is, come here and confess your sins. But what the Holy Spirit said, we should proclaim that through him, he says, that through this man, forgiveness and removal of sin is now proclaimed to you. He said, that's what we should proclaim. Why? He paid it on the cross with his blood. Paid for their sin, for my sin and your sin on the cross. It's not your confession that made it work. It's because of what he did. If it's your confession, then it's not his blood, it's your confession. It's what he said, while you were yet sinners. Christ what? The righteous for? He said, this is the love of God. He said, go and preach reconciliation. Tell them that I've reconciled with them. I'm not counting their sins anymore because I paid for it. My blood has been shed for their sins. Let them come. That's not what we preach. We want to make them do something. That's not what the Holy Spirit said. Because we don't believe it. That's why we don't preach it. We don't believe the gospel. And if you don't believe the gospel, sir, my sister, you're not saved. To be honest with you. You don't believe it. You know, Peter said to Simon, he said, your money perish with you because you think that the gift of God can be what? Bought. Can't teach people to come and buy the gift of God by what they do. Which means the cross means nothing. Reason? Because you don't believe it yourself. Christ is not sufficient. Yeah? So, he says that through this man, forgiveness and removal of sin is now proclaimed to you, and that through him, everyone, how many people? Everyone who believes, who acknowledges Jesus as his Savior and devotes himself to him is absolved, cleared, and freed from every charge from which he could not be justified and freed by the law of Moses and given right standing with God. Any man who acknowledges Jesus as his Savior is now cleared. The next verse. 40. Take care, therefore, my brothers and sisters. Take care. Take care, therefore. Lest there come upon you what is spoken in the prophets. Look, you scoffers that scorn this message, that scorn this thing. You come to church, but you don't believe it. You scorn the cross. You don't believe the Holy Spirit. He says, take care, therefore, lest there come upon you what is spoken in the prophet. Look, you scoffers and scorners, and marvel, and perish, and vanish away. Why? For I am doing a deed in your days, a deed which you will never have confidence in or believe. That's why you will be destroyed. Because you won't believe. If someone clearly describes it, in details, declares it to you, say, be careful what the prophet said, let not come upon you. He's talking about to the church. As they, Paul and Barnabas, went out of the synagogue, The people earnestly begged that these things might be told them further the next Sabbath. Then the next Sabbath they came, 43. Let's read what they told them next Sabbath. And when the congregation of the synagogue dispersed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked to them and urged them to, number one, do what? Continue to trust themselves to and to stand fast in the grace, the unmerited favor and blessings of God we receive through the cross. Say, stand fast in it. Don't move an inch. Continue to urge them. You got, hey, stand fast in the grace, in the unmerited favors that they provided to us in the cross, the new life, the deliverances, the blessings, everything. He says, stand fast in this thing. That's how God gave it to you. So I'm telling you today to stand fast in it. Because when you stand fast in it, you see the thing work for you. You see the benefits of that favor. Show forth. The Spirit of God will now be working it out. Because all things are possible to him who believes. Things become possible. Your deliverance from sin begins to show. Your deliverance from the new life begins to show. The love of Christ begins to show. When people will be testifying what they are now seeing. But they will see the fruit of love. You know, I had a friend who died, a pastor, a big pastor, and they told me to come and speak in Atlanta when he died. I went there. You know, this man never told me he was a Christian. I was a Christian, he was a Christian. He never one day told me he was a Christian. He wasn't even a pastor then. It was, and when we were going to church, we didn't know anybody else was saved except us. And it was what we believed. But this man's life, I called my wife, I said, this man is a Christian. I'm not kidding you. I said, Frank is a Christian. He was full of love. Oh my God. I've never seen anything like that. He was so loving. Frank was so full of smiles. You come to me, I'm wanting to care about me. I was running away because they are sinners. And he would travel abroad and buy me seat. I told him, I said, do Christians give gifts? He's giving me gifts. I told him, I said, these people are Christians. That thing they tell us in church is not right. I said, no. These people are. And that's how my eyes began to open. That there are other Christians. Nobody told me. Brother, I'm telling you, I said, basic discernment we should have as Christians. Nobody told me. My spirit discerned it that these people are Christians. I was telling him, I said, these people are Christians. And I would go to their church. I rebelled and went to their church because we're not supposed to visit any other church. I went. And their pastor preached. Oh my God. Whoa. I went to them and I said, this thing you preach is amazing. And you know, the other time we went, they preached on praise. I couldn't sleep. I went to him, I said, you dance? I was studying those scriptures one by one. I couldn't sleep. God is my witness. He said, praise? Because we're not supposed to dance. Praise the Lord. My wife refused to follow me. He said, they don't cover their hair. He said, pastor in Foursquare. Who in Foursquare licenses? It's Foursquare we went. Frank never one day told me I'm a Christian. But the fruits of the Spirit were in abundance. He was a man of love. He was a man of Jesus of Nazareth. You wanted to be with Frank. He had no evil word to speak. Nothing. Not such a sweet spirit to hang around. In fact, I went to our leader, our zonal leader. I said, Frank, he's a Christian. I said, let him come and speak to us. Because in our church, if you invite somebody to speak to us, it's a crime. So we invited him to speak. He blessed us. It was amazing. Then he called me one day. He said, the church planting you are doing. So I want to give you my 504. I said, you used to. He said, no, I'm dashing it to you. He said, use that car and be doing your church, man. Because we are planting a church, which is a big church now. At that time, he said, use my car, take it. My wife and my children will enter bus to go. He said, no, use my car, take it. He said, take the keys, it's not your car. Praise the Lord. And when it comes to guidance of the Holy Spirit, which is also a thing that complements this knowledge we have to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's part of it. We think that guidance of the Holy Spirit is only about who to marry and not to marry. No. The primary thing about guidance of the Holy Spirit is to complement and help you to produce the fruit of what? The Spirit of God. That's the primary thing. It's not just who to marry. Chris is looking at me. Praise the Lord. It's not just who to marry. It's to guide you in the path that produce that spirit, that fruit is being, you're walking in. And I want to ask you a question, my brothers and sisters. If my heart is enslaved, and I don't believe the gospel, my heart is enslaved to carnal stuff that's not God and other things, I want you to tell me how I will follow the Holy Spirit. Explain it to me. When your heart is a slave, you cannot follow the Holy Spirit because it's a slave. Something had hold over it. The Bible says that our soul needs to be saved. And if my soul is not saved, I will be blind. I will have no ears for God. No matter what you preach from this pulpit, I won't hear it. Because something is holding my soul. What? And people are wondering, why is he not here? No, Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, yeah, they're not hearing. Why? Something has grabbed that soul captive. And the Bible says that the carnal mind does not understand. Tell me how you can be led of the Holy Spirit. Explain it to me. I want to know. Just explain it to me. All this is I'm talking won't even make sense. If we talk of love, you think they're talking to us. James 1:21. Wherefore lay, I don't know how many minutes left to. Huh? How many minutes? 30? Huh? Oh, 6. You have accent. That's your problem. From Amore. James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept. You know the filth is unbelief. The Bible calls it evil heart of unbelief that pushes you away from God. They're giving you the gospel, you won't believe it. So get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly, what? Accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your heart. For it has the power to save your soul. The gospel is the power of God that saves you and saves your soul. If you don't believe the gospel, your soul will be grabbed in carnality. Will be a slave to carnality. A carnal mind does not understand, cannot even receive the things of God. Matthew 23:26. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean, what? Also. So what cleanses it? John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. What did he speak? The Bible says he began the gospel which the Lord began to speak, which is now brought to us from those that had. Is that gospel? That's the wisdom of God. That's the truth. That if you know, it will set you what? Set your soul free. But if you reject it, then you create another God, another thing, whatever it is, that you think will deliver you from that thing, your soul will be bound by it. But you'll be a slave. That's why the gospel is, that's why the Bible said that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the principal thing. Because that's what we put ornaments of what? On your head. Prolong your life. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. The Bible says, guard your heart with a diligence. Out of it comes what? Yeah. The Bible said that the child of God does not continue in sin because the seed of God is there. The seed of God is the word of God, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ himself is the seed of God. So what I'm saying is, do you really believe the gospel in its totality and not create another God that will deliver you? Because Jesus is the only deliverer. For there is no other name given among men by which we what? We say. And like Paul said, I'm urging you today to stand fast in all the benefits of grace on the cross. And let the gospel be, let the cross be your boast. Let it be your place of pegging your faith. And say, it is finished. It is also what? Finished. Whatever comes, you stand on Christ, the solid rock. Victory is sure. I told my wife yesterday, he said, there are some things that happen in our lives. Sometimes in your family, the devil will take something, listen to me, and come before you, so wicked this way, and hang it in your family, like an issue that won't go away. We'll put it there to discourage you. And put it where you will see it, to discourage you. And so sometimes the thing looks now worse. So it gets even worse. Then finally, I said, all of that attempt is your soul is attacking to tell you that what you believe doesn't work. I said, what I do is ignore him. Because I know that everything has time. When the time of the Lord comes, that thing that is dead, the bone, stand firm on the gospel. You know, when I was coming, the Lord was showing me. He said, see where you live. I said, yeah. He said, when you came here, I was run down. People told me, say, why did you buy a house here? Why did you buy? In front of my house was a factory that they used to do battery. And they say, you bought a property in a contaminated soil? I said, the Lord told me to buy. He told me, he said, I'll give you a seed there. I bought it. The price went half what happened. I kept quiet. I didn't move on. Then for years, the front of my house was bush. If you ever came to my house that time, bush, rodents, all manner of rodents were coming to my house, including the one that's this one that is sluggish. Come to my house. Brethren, if you pass in front of my house now, you know what is there? You know what is there? What is there is mansion, exclusive mansion. My house has become one of the safest areas in Western because of the caliber of people they are building it for. I stepped out to go to my car. The Lord said, see your house. For years, it looked rubbish, contaminated. He said, see what I did before your house. But when you bought it, this thing wasn't there. He said, that is when troubles come, like bush and rodents are coming. He said, stand firm. Stand firm. One day you come, that place that looked like bush will be a mansion. But don't look for any savior else. Don't create another God and forget the covenant of your God. Don't. There's no deliverer except Jesus. And those that trust in him, shall be put to shame. Can we rise up? On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, Lord, the ground is sinking sand. Oh, Lord, the ground is sinking sand. Let's sing it again. Pastor, come and help me. Oh, Christ the solid rock.